Welcome to First Things First, the weekly podcast where we talk about God, faith, and life in Shallow Water, Texas. Our podcast is a production of First Shallow Water, and you can find more information about our church by clicking on the link in the description of this episode. Thanks for joining us. Here's our pastor, Brad Miles.
From Jennifer Keziah is joining us today. You guys have been a member of our church for like a couple
two years
and have just kind of jumped in with both feet. Jennifer volunteers with our youth program, so if you're down there hanging out with our students anytime, you'll see her down there helping out. And they've got kids running around, which I'll let her tell you guys about. But we're so excited to have y'all and your family here at our church, and been kind of a blessing to really get to know you guys and to serve alongside of you. You know what I mean? So, Jennifer, tell everybody what about yourself? What's the essential, some of the essential facts that people need to know about you?
Yeah. Let's see. I was born and raised in Lubbock.
All right.
And moved away the middle school, high school years, but
okay.
Came back to attend Texas Tech University.
Okay.
So I bleed red and black.
Yeah.
And I got my Tech shirt on today because March Madness is officially on. So that's a big thing to know about me.
Yeah.
And that's where I met my husband in college, Daniel, while attending church in college. And he's a pilot. So if you see me wrangling four kids alone or showing up solo, it's probably because he's away working. He is a corporate pilot right now.
Okay.
He's also done charter. He's never done the airlines. That's kind of the common question is, who's he fly for?
Right.
But yeah, he's a pilot, loves flying. We love traveling, and we have four kids. Adelaide, who is in third grade.
Mm-hmm.
Eli, who's in first grade. Elizabeth, who is about to turn four and will start pre-K next year. And then Asher, our youngest, is a year and a half. So yeah.
And you were, right before we started, you were also telling me that like almost all of you have birthdays like in the next few weeks.
We do, yes. And that was not planned. That was not intentional. But four out of our like six little nuclear family unit have birthdays within 3 weeks of each other. And so poor little Asher's in October, but he has other aunts and uncles with birthdays in October. So,
he's like good. But. Not poor Asher. I mean, it's kind of nice to have a space carved out for himself, you know.
Oh, I'm sure he'll love it when his siblings aren't bullying him for it.
Right.
But, you know.
Yeah. That's good times.
Yeah.
Okay. So four kids. And
yes.
I need to, one of these days, I need to just like sit down and listen to Daniel tell stories about his job, because I'm sure that he has got some amazing stories.
Yes, he has a book full. He's flown some pretty cool people and traveled to Europe and Africa and even Somalia. He did a DOJ trip.
Wow.
Yeah. So he has lots of stories.
Yeah. Well, one of these days I'm gonna, because every time we never are like in a place where we can just kind of hang out and talk. But one of these days I want to hear some stories, because he's told me a little bit about some of the people he's been able to fly around. And I was like, oh my gosh, I need to hear more about that.
Yeah.
So, that's awesome.
For sure.
So, okay. So, as when we have people on the podcast, we want to hear your story. We want to know about, your life and about, but particularly about how God has been at work in your life and how maybe you came to the point in your life where you realized, hey, I want for my life to be oriented around the person of Jesus Christ, like when you became a Christian. So what did that look like for you? Because you grew up Presbyterian, right?
I did. I grew up Presbyterian, and I literally kind of grew up in the church. So my parents divorced when I was about 18 months old, and we moved in with my grandparents.
Yeah.
And that's where part of my passion for Tech basketball came in, is I went to all the games with my grandparents, and my mom worked as a church secretary she was also working on her master's. And so when school was out for summer, I spent a lot of time up at the church, 10 a.m. watching Price is Right with the quilting ladies and running around the hallways that aren't used. And when I wasn't doing VBS and all that. So literally grew up kind of in the church.
Sure.
And so it always played a big part in my life.
Right.
My mom got remarried when I was 7. Uh-huh. We moved up to Missouri for a little bit, and then we moved down to North Austin, Round Rock, Cedar Park.
Yeah.
And just kind of doing life, doing the things. And then my sophomore year of high school, my stepdad went in for gallbladder surgery.
Uh-huh.
And in that recovery, it was he suffered a heart attack.
Oh, no.
And it was at like 11 o'clock at night. So there weren't doctors there at that time. And so the nurses knew and they did what they could. But he ended up suffering a pretty good amount of damage from that.
Yeah.
And so ever since then, he's been through numerous surgeries, getting doors and windows to release fluid and cut away kind of some dead muscle parts. He has a pacemaker defibrillator. Yeah. He's had surgeries to replace those leads, replace those batteries. So much. Yeah. But one of those surgeries, and I can't even remember what this particular surgery was for, but it was just my mom and I was in high school. It was probably my junior year at this point. But we'd been through surgeries before, and so family had offered to come down and help, and we were like, no, it's, you know, we'll be good. It's supposed to be kind of a routine thing. And we just were like, it's easier to keep up some sense of normalcy and routine, and so we're like, we should be good.
Yeah.
And so he went in for surgery that morning, and my mom and I are in the waiting room, and it's taken longer than it should, and we start to get anxious, and haven't heard anything. And I just remember, like, I can remember, it's weird the details that you remember. Like, I can remember the layout of that room. I couldn't tell you what hospital it was. I can't tell you any of those details. But I remember the layout of the room, and there was this lady sitting in the corner, and she can tell that we're kind of anxious and nervous, and we're the only ones in there at this point. And she just comes over, and she asks us, like, do you believe in Jesus Christ? And we say yes. And then she just prays with us.
Yeah.
And then leaves. Never see her again.
Right.
And then after a while, the doctor comes in and tells us, you know, he pulled through and kind of why it took longer and all the things. But that was the first time that after growing up in the church, I really had to profess it and answer it. Like, she straight up asked me to my face, you know, like, and I don't feel like we do that all the time. We just kind of base on assumptions or, you know, in our heads or our hearts say it, but not actually verbalize it out loud. And so, you know, I verbalized it. And then I also knew by verbalizing it, like, no matter what the outcome was and moving forward, like, I'm putting my faith in God and in Jesus, and that no matter what happens, it's all going to be okay. And it's all going to work out. Yeah. And then just have taken that, you know, forward into all of them. But that was the big one was, you know, I can distinctly remember her just asking me, like, do you believe in Jesus Christ? And professing it and yes. Yeah. And then her just praying with us.
Yeah.
And then that immediate peace that kind of fell over the situation. Yeah, so
that's awesome. That's awesome. I, you know, there's something about too those moments, and we've been, you know, we've in my family too, walked through, you know, moments like that, times like that, where you got someone you care about is sick, and there's nothing you can do at all except, you know, you have no control over the situation. Right. You know, so the only thing that you can do in that moment is really lean into your faith. So you do one of two things. You lean into your faith or you kind of lean away from it, you know? So, and I really do believe that, you know, that sometimes the presence of the Lord is, you know, I've felt the presence of the Lord most strongly in some of those moments where, because that's all you've got, you know? So, but also, like, I agree with you that in those moments you find out what you believe, you know? So, like, if Jesus is just a great guy, you know, or maybe if he's even the Son of God, but you don't really have a personal relationship with him, you're not connected to him, you know what I mean?
Right. And
when those moments roll around, you know about that, right? You get to discover in those moments where your relationship with Christ really is.
100%. And it was just a different sense of peace, you know, not knowing what was going to happen, but that, you know, and my mom, she had already been divorced, had already, you know, and so you don't want to go through those things again or, you know, and so, and that's big for her and big for us, just having that nuclear family unit. And so just knowing that we don't know what it's going to look like. And it's been the same through all his different procedures. And most recently, they ended up, I'm not a medical person at all, but I guess kind of cauterizing or something to, like, redirect the leads and the nerve system and all that.
The electrical impulses.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And so, you know, they did that. And there's been, for that procedure and others, they've brought the crash cart in just as precaution, you know, and you're like, okay, but that's
your
scary.
Loved one on the table. Yeah,
yes, you know, when the crash cart is in it's there, just in case, that can be a little nerve wracking, but there's always just been this peace that we're going to be okay.
Well, and I think I hear you saying, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I hear you saying that, like, there was something about that moment that was different for you? Like, or that from that moment on, things were different, the way you viewed your faith or the peace that you felt or whatever else. Yes. Is that accurate?
That is, yes. Because I would say that it's probably safe to say that I always kind of leaned on my parents' faith, my mom's faith, and just kind of grew up in it. But that was the moment where I really accepted it as my own.
Right.
And then from that point, took ownership of it too. Yeah. And, you know, when I reached college age, a year or two later, was like, I need to find a church to go to in college. And, took the ownership of it's my responsibility and it's my relationship and not anybody else's.
Yeah. So. That's such an important point for us all to think about, you know, because most of the time, honestly, when I do this podcast, most of the time I'm talking to people who they grew up in the church, you know, and so their parents went to church with their parents all the time. And it's not like it's a conscious thing for us, but without really maybe even realizing it, you know, we're just kind of like riding on the coattails of our parents' faith, you know.
Right.
We're not making the decision to pursue relationship with Christ. Right. We're just kind of going with our parents as they do, which that says a couple of really important things. The first thing is how unbelievably important it is for us as parents to be actively pursuing relationship with Christ, right?
Yes.
That's super important because our kids are watching.
Right.
And they're coming with us on whatever that journey is, right? But the other really important thing about that is that, you know, at some point it has to be, we have to make a decision that this is who I'm going to be as well, right? That's what I'm going to do as well.
So. Right.
So, 100%. And that was your moment. That was your, you feel like that's the moment where that really is, crystallized.
Yes. Yes. It's the one that stands out, and it's the one that, like, I can't remember the insignificant details at this point of what the surgery was or all those, but I can picture the lady, and I still remember to this day, you know, exactly what she said to us. And so that's been the pivotal moment.
That lady has no idea. She has no idea how big of a moment that was for you.
Right.
And just praise God for the faithfulness of, you know, people who that just took the time to pray for you. That's so awesome.
And I think for an introvert kind of like me, I'm an introverted extrovert.
Yeah.
but, you know, how important can it just be if you see someone, just pray with them? Because you don't know what that moment can hold, like you said. She has probably no idea. So,
listen, it is amazing. It's amazing what will happen, like what you'll hear, what people will say to you if you tell them, "Hey, I'd like to pray for you. Is there anything I can be praying for you about?" It's amazing what can happen in those moments. I remember a couple of times in my life where, you know, these moments in my life where I felt like I was really, like, I don't know how else to put it, but just really walking in step with the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? And there would just be, you know, there'd be a person that I would come across that I would just be like, "Hey, you know, how can I pray for you? What's going on?" One time it was the cashier at Wendy's, you know, like the lady working at the line at Wendy's. And I just asked how she could be praying for it. Man, she just started crying and was telling me the story about her kids had been taken away by CPS because of her uncle who they were having to live with because her boyfriend had left her. Like, she's telling me this whole story in the checkout line at Wendy's. You know, and unfortunately, I was the only person in there. But to be able to just share the gospel with her and to pray for her, right? That small just act of, "Hey, I see you and I care about you, and so does Jesus." You know, it's so powerful to people. It really is.
It is. It is. And I think that's, you know, what we're called to do is be the hands and feet.
Absolutely.
And meet people where they are and serve them.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I love about this church is, you know, service is such a big part of it
because
that's. People can come in the doors and change their life, but most of the time it happens outside of the actual physical walls of the church, and it's being the church.
Yep.
You know, how many meals have you served? How many people have you helped? How many people have you loved on? Not how many seats are full on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, no doubt. And more and more, what we're finding is that people, you know, people are more and more not really interested. If they're not connected to faith, right? If that's not a part of their story. They're more and more, they're not super interested in coming, you know, used to, you know, you could open the doors. If you had some cool stuff going on a Sunday morning, well, people who weren't even Christians might come just to see what was up. Not anymore. Not super interested in that. So the only way that they actually come to church is if they're invited by somebody, right? So the work that's happening that God is doing in the lives of other people is happening not here, you know, it's happening outside, like you're saying, and that's super important for us as Christians to understand and remember. So okay, so that was kind of a mile marker moment. You know, for you. So, and honestly, it's the culmination. I mean, clearly God had been at work in your life for all the way up until that point,
yeah.
You know, in all kinds of crazy ways, you know, but what are some times in your life where you really felt like that your faith was being deepened and rich, that you were being stretched? Like, what are some times in your life where you felt like you were really growing?
I think the kind of easy go-to answer is being a pilot wife.
Yeah.
You know, kind of talked about that a little bit. Just the destinations he's gone to, and the statistics aren't in our favor as far as, you know, we spend a lot of time apart. When he used to do charter, he would be on the road for 2 weeks and only home for one. And so isolation isn't, you know, healthy for marriages. And so we've just really been intentional that when we're home, we're going to church on Sunday mornings. We read our Bible every day. And just making sure that vertical relationship is good so that, you know, our marriage can be strong. Mm-hmm. So that's an easy answer, is just kind of that stretches me all the time. With his career. But more recently, the past 2-3 years now, I used to be on staff at church. Mm-hmm. I was the kids director, at a church in Lubbock, and absolutely loved it. It spoke to my spiritual gifts of creativity and administration and faith.
Yeah.
And I love loving on people. Mm-hmm. And so that was I loved it, and it worked well with Daniel's job. I was able to have my kids with me there on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights if he was out of town. And, it was just fantastic. But about halfway into it, I started to just not see myself aligning with where leadership was, and being on the same page, and just kind of wrestling with some of their vision for my ministry versus me, who was having to execute it. And I really just wrestled with it and prayed with it over a year, because I didn't want to make a rash decision. I'm like, I'm literally doing God's work. I'm working at a church, you know? So like, it feels weird to just like leave. And it didn't feel right, but I prayed over it, and it reached a point where I was stressed, I was anxious, I was coming home, and Daniel's like, this isn't good for you, this isn't healthy, you're not in a good place. And about that same time, I was reading a book for youth ministry leaders, and it talked about how if God isn't working in my life, then my ministry is not going to be effective. And that just really hit home, because I was teaching Bible lessons twice a week. I was teaching chapel. I was in the word, but it wasn't active in my life, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I was just kind of stale, I guess you could put it. And so I knew at that point I needed to make a change. And that wasn't where I was supposed to be anymore. And so I made the difficult decision and turned in my resignation. And it didn't happen the way that I ever thought it would play out. I always kind of thought it would just be like, you know, my kids are older and just a different busy season of life and like mutual parting of ways. And that's not the way that it played out. And I experienced a lot of hurt from it. But it's the other kind of big part in this timeline is so that I resigned in February of that year. The prior November, Daniel got a call for a job opportunity in Lubbock. And he had been previously working for a company based on the East Coast.
Okay.
And so we kind of mulled it over, and we thought it would be a good move for our family. So he made that job change. And then come January, they were like, hey, we're going to relocate the plane to a different state. And so y'all are going to have to move with the plane.
Oh,
we were like, I was really sorry. I didn't want to do it, but that's not my call at the end of the day, for our family. And, but we looked at it, we looked at the schools, we looked at the housing, and there's just not a way we could make it make sense for us. But he had just accepted this job.
Right.
And they understood, that they were kind of changing the terms of it and stuff, but that didn't mean that like he had a job.
Yeah.
So he was going to be looking for a job. I just resigned from my job. And then we find out that we're going to be expecting our fourth kid. And I think just the stress and chaos of it all, that just kind of like slipped in there. And then I was like, oh, okay, cool. So he's looking for a job. And he gets a phone call from someone here in Lubbock, that says they're looking to purchase an aircraft and, they would like to interview him. And so the way that his industry works is you get typed in particular airplanes, you go to school,
right.
The bigger the airplane, the longer the school, everything like that. And so I think to our knowledge, he's like the only Gulfstream guy in this area.
Right.
And there's not another one of these planes, in Amarillo, Lubbock, Midland, like,
right.
You have to go elsewhere for him. So, they wanted to purchase the airplane that he had tons of experience in, and, he gets that job and moves forward. And that was just really God's hand on it all, because had they called, you know, 2-3 weeks prior, he would have still been employed.
That's right.
Or had they called 2 or 3 weeks later, we were both now unemployed, and, you know, he probably would have gone and found a job elsewhere.
That's
so,
right.
So God's hand was really just on that whole situation. And like, you couldn't have made it work out if you tried to. So over those course of like 4 months, he changed jobs twice. I resigned. We found out we were expecting our fourth kid. It was just like drinking from a fountain. And we took a few weeks off just to kind of process everything. And then after spring break, we decided we needed to get back to church. And so we decided to visit here at First Shallow Water. He had actually previously, he knew Jason Fisher from his previous job. And we knew the school kids had school friends here. And so we were like, let's give it a try. So we jumped in, and that's where a lot of my healing started to happen, was just sitting in worship on Sunday mornings and listening to your sermons and processing all the things that I knew, you know, that we're all sinners, myself included, and that, you know, it wasn't malicious. The things that I had experienced through my previous job weren't maliciously done, but just because of human nature. And it's church hurt is a thing. I mean, since the beginning of time, and that's what a lot of Paul's letters about. And in 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about how, you know, he's been persecuted, he's been shipwrecked, he's been betrayed by his own people. But at the end of the day, God's grace is sufficient and it fills it. And so just really kind of working through and processing all that. And because the first instinct is to put our wrongs out there, how we're hurt and how, you know, we're suffering. But that never felt right. But I hadn't healed from it either. And so through attending here and just sitting in worship and going, for lack of a better word, through the motions, I really started to heal and really started to feel God working in my life and reigniting that fire. The spark had always been there, but, you know, reigniting that fire. And over the summer, I really started to miss ministry. Cause like I said, I love serving people. And so, I reached out to volunteer in the youth, because I knew kids ministry probably wouldn't be the greatest place for me to return, and was about to have 4 young kids. And so I was like, I need something different.
I need to not be around
children. I did tell Julie, like, hey, if someone's sick or you need someone to jump in, give me a call. Cause I'm dropping 4 kids off twice a week. And it is an amazing program. Let me say that, like, reach out to her and serve, whether it's just for VBS or something, like, it is an amazing ministry, and kids will always surprise you. Little side note, reach out to her and jump in just for some event and see what's going on. But so I started serving with the youth, and that fall, and October, when our son was born, I was with the 8th grade girls at that time. They're freshmen now. But that October, they had thrown me a little baby shower on a Wednesday night and brought gifts and cupcakes. So awesome. And it was so awesome. I mean, I hadn't been with them for 2 months, you know, and I'm kind of the stranger. And they're, at the time, they're middle schoolers and they're freshmen now. Yeah. Like, there's, but it meant so much to me. And I don't even think they realized how much it meant to me, because the lies that I'd been told, that I couldn't be effective in ministry unless I was working 50 hours a week and sacrificing time with my family to make it happen, like, I wouldn't be effective in ministry. And I knew deep down in my heart that wasn't true. But I didn't have any, like, backup for it. You know, like, I wasn't, like, it's what I was being told. And so that just really kind of affirmed, and I felt God affirming that, like, no, you're showing up for 2 hours once a week yeah. and loving on these girls. And they cared enough to do this, right. you know, and that I could be effective in it. So, that's been an area that God has really just kind of stretched me and grown me. And I would say deepened that relationship.
Yeah.
And I've really had to I'm putting my hand on my Bible, like all the things that I knew in scripture,
yes.
you know, putting them into real life application.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah. And that's what faith is about. I mean, we talk about, you know, what scriptures say, what we know Jesus, you know, taught, wants us to do, you know, I mean, but living that out, being not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word also, you yeah. know, is that's a big challenge,
yeah.
you know, in our lives. Can we talk a little bit, you know, cause we haven't really gotten that much into it. You've kind of just alluded to it, but I think it's important to maybe talk about church hurt a little.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those ones that you kind of want to dodge because it's awkward.
Yeah.
Especially when you're a part of the church, because you don't yeah. want to offend anybody or you don't want to call anybody out. Mm-hmm. But it's important because it happens, and I think it happens because, like I said, we're all sinners, and we right. have to realize that we make mistakes. But the important part is then repenting for it and not continuing down that path.
Yeah.
Right. Whether you've caused the hurt or you've been hurt. Just realizing we all got to reconcile things, mm-hmm. Both with ourselves and how we haven't acted Christ-like to our brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
But then, you know, just not holding those grudges
yeah.
to any other people, because we're one corporate body. And
yes.
so that particular place may not be the place for you, mm-hmm. but we are all God's church. And you preached on that one time recently about mm-hmm. how, you know, the hands and the feet and the eyes, and we all have different purposes,
right.
but
yeah.
we are all one body. Mm-hmm. And so it's a big thing. And I think it happens more frequently than we'd like to admit.
Well, and it's so diabolical too, because, you know, because like you're, you know, the people that you're going to church with, right. If we are connected like a body, like what scripture describes, then whenever there is like sickness in that body, then it's really, really harmful to us and deadly
right.
to us. And so it's different from like toxic workplace. Okay.
Right.
I mean, I've worked in plenty of, you know, places where that yeah. was a toxic workplace, you know, outside of the church, you know, but that's different. Like that place was where I went to work. Like, you know what I mean? I could step away from that.
Right.
You know, whenever the toxicity is the place where you're worshiping, mm-hmm. you know, and the place where you're trying to learn and grow in your faith gets bound up with all
yes.
this other junk.
Yes.
And it can take years to like unravel all of that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And look, the honest truth is, there are people listening to this podcast who they've walked through hurt, church hurt. And like the hurt that we're describing, like both you and I have been on staff at churches. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of, you know, when you're working at a church and it's toxic, you know, that's one thing. But I mean, you know, I was just talking to someone just maybe it was yesterday. Mm-hmm. who was talking about, you know, they have a group, out of their group of friends, they have six people in their friend group who were sexually abused
oh my.
In the church, like different people,
right.
you know? And so I think about that. Like I think about, the level of, I mean, you know, of deep, deep hurt
yes.
that people experience.
Yeah.
And the church isn't the only place it happens. It's not even probably the main place that it happens.
Yeah.
But when it happens
yeah.
there's all these other ramifications. And
yeah.
I know there are people listening to this podcast right. who have experienced some kind of hurt from the church. And look, if we're just going to be real honest, there's people listening to this podcast who've experienced that kind of hurt here.
Mm-hmm.
At First Shallow Water. Mm-hmm. I mean, this church has been through, you know, some stuff in its
yeah.
past too,
yeah.
right? So, how would you encourage people who are carrying around wounds
yeah.
from their church experience, right? How would you encourage those folks?
I think first you have to kind of look at yourself, you know? And so mm-hmm. what I really tried to do was just, in any Christian relationship, not just when I was working for the church, but you know, scripture calls us to address it one-on-one first.
Yeah. Right.
And you know, and I did that and I tried that and I wasn't getting anywhere.
Right.
You know, I tried to voice, you know, here's kind of where I'm not seeing eye to eye. And, and then, you know, to bring an elder, to bring another person in. Mm-hmm. And so I started doing that and it was with my actual church elder, you know, who oversaw my ministry. And, you know, I didn't just go seek my best friend or someone who I knew, you know, would take my side on it. I brought in the person who that was their role.
Yes.
And then eventually, you know, I kept it within that small group of, you know, the leadership elders, and the church staff. But once I realized that we were no longer on the same page, I realized I needed to remove myself.
Yeah.
And, now I relate to that verse, in John about the I am the vine and, you know, you are the branches. And so I was, not all fruit is bad. Like fruit is good, but sometimes you have to pick it and prune it and all that so that you can get a better fruit.
Yeah.
And so that's really just the vision that I've tried to take on it is, you know, God had to prune me and it hurt and it wasn't comfortable, but it was ultimately for his glory and for his benefit. And so that he could utilize me and put me exactly where he needs me. And I've seen that beauty, since we've been here, you know, our daughter was just baptized in December, and just seeing my kids' growth that may have not happened had we still been there, you know? Yeah. So I think just looking inward and on your relationship and what you can take ownership of, and then just addressing it on how scripture is supposed to address it.
Yeah.
But then, also being open to the critiques. And, you know, that's one of the things that First Shallow Water does so well is when I've been serving and every year I get that update on whether I'm current on my background check and my other stuff and, you know, just putting those in place. And when you go through the trainings, you realize that there's, or you learn that there's multiple factors to it and just kind of, I think our culture and society has a lot of words for what might be the Holy Spirit at work. You know, we say the feeling in your stomach or the butterflies or it just gave you this weird kind of, you know, you knew. And I'm like, lean into that.
Right.
If something tells you that it's off, it's probably off. It's probably off.
Right.
And you're not necessarily crazy for thinking that. And so vocalizing and speaking up on that.
Exactly.
And then the other parties need to be receptive and not just brush it off or brush it under the rug or anything like that. Really just realizing that we're in it together and for the same goal.
One of the things that you've said over and over again that I want to come back to is you kept saying that, like, that you realized that these were people, you know, that they're flawed people just like you, you know, who were making, you know, mistakes that hurt you. Right. Mm-hmm. So anybody who's kind of walked through a period in their life where, you know, where they've been through hurt at the church, right. What we sometimes do, and sometimes we're not even aware that we do it, but we will, it's the first thing that we have to be able to do is distinguish between, you know, Almighty Sovereign God and the people who hurt us, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's harder to do that when it's church situation. Do you understand what I mean? Like we sometimes will bind the, you know, God and his character into our experience with, you know, people in the church. And so the first thing we have to do is realize what you realized, which was, look, God did not do this to me, right? There were people that made this decision. So you were able to distinguish between that. And then the second thing, I think this is so important, and you brought this up too, is that okay, if I know who I, like, I have received grace from God that I did not deserve. I am really a flawed human being, right? And a lot of times my life is a dumpster fire. You know, it's been there many, many times in my life, right? But God has still extended grace to me. Mm-hmm. And so when someone hurts me, when someone harms me, it's good for me to remember, like, I can be like, what a terrible, awful, evil person. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But if I remember the grace that I've received, then I can be like, you know what? I've made plenty of hurtful mistakes in my past, you know? And so then it's easier for me to not, you know, to forgive, you know, people who've hurt me, particularly when they're people who were supposed to be guiding me in the faith, right? It's so much harder when it's a person who's supposed to be, you know, helping you grow spiritually, when it's that person that's wounded you, it's so much harder, you know?
Yeah.
But when we just realize we're all people, we all make mistakes, that does help a lot.
Yeah.
You don't have to be best buddies.
Right.
You may not be connected with those people ever again. Forgiveness doesn't mean that we're hanging out, you know, every Saturday. Forgiveness means I'm not holding this against those people anymore.
Yeah. 100%. And that was a really tough thing for me because, you know, there was almost the two sides of it. I was on the church staff and there was like the day-to-day office side of it. But then the ministry that I did, that was real genuine relationships with people and people that a lot of them to this day still have no idea the full picture. And so, you know, when I left, it just felt abrupt and I know it hurt them too.
Yeah. Right.
And they didn't understand. And, you know, some of them have kind of asked me and I've always been, you know, I've tried to be truthful, but not just get stuck in the drama and the gossip of it.
Right.
But you know, they've asked like, hey, you know, we would love for you to come, you know, come back, or, you know, you always got this place here. Mm-hmm. And that means so much. And I'm appreciative of that, but I've had to set those healthy boundaries too for myself.
Right.
And I've kind of told them, you know, that just in a nice, respectful way that, you know, hey, I love you guys. And, I've supported their kids, you know, like, hey, happy birthday, or like, congratulations when, you know, they have a major accomplishment. And, some of them, we still catch up for lunch, you know, on occasion. And so just doing life together, but just putting those boundaries around kind of our church life, is a big part. And, you know, Paul in 2 Corinthians, you had talked about just how we're all sinners and we mess up, but that's also why we need Jesus. Mm-hmm. And when Paul writes that, you know, God's grace is sufficient, it goes on into our weaknesses and in all the ways that we fail, God's perfect plan, he fixed that for us.
Yeah.
And so we can just have confidence in that and just really try and be Christ-like with each other.
Yeah.
How we're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And follow all those guidelines and just love each other at the end of the day.
No doubt. And that's good encouragement, because I know there are folks who have walked that, you know, in some form or fashion, you know, in their lives before. And and it can really derail people, you know, it really, I mean, it can, you know, and, can cause people to kind of deconstruct everything when they've gone through something difficult when it comes to church, you know, or been a part of a church that was embroiled in conflict. You know what I mean? Like it really can mess with you. And, and so if you're listening, please remember that, you know, that God is still good even when we're not, you know?
Yeah.
And I would just say, I would just say, like, how about this? On behalf of First Shallow Water, if conflict or you know, toxic stuff happening at this church has harmed you or wounded you in any way, I'd like to say on behalf of our church body, we're so sorry. We're so sorry for not living up to what Christ has called us to be, and for not being who we were supposed to be, and for falling short of the standard that he set. Like, we're really sorry for that. And we just want you to know that we love you and we're praying for you. Anyway, I don't know what else to say about that, but I know that that's the reality of the situation is that kind of stuff happens.
And I think it's just good to always go back to scripture. I mean, scripture is the foundation, and maybe it's a kids director in me that, you know, the armor of God, you know, most of it is defensive pieces of armor.
Yeah.
And you have to protect your head and the thoughts that come in, and you have to, you know, the shield of faith, and, you have your one offensive weapon, the sword, and that's the Holy Spirit. And so just go back to scripture and that foundation, and God will work in your life.
Yeah.
And, that's where I started, was just sitting in worship on Sunday mornings and worship songs. And, that song, Come Broken Hearted. What is the title of that song?
Broken Hearted.
Yes.
Let healing begin.
Yes. Yeah. That one, I mean, I remember being at my old church and the worship band playing that song and being in tears and having to like subtly hide it, you know, because I'm still on staff at this church and I'm sitting here crying. But then that same song being played here, and still being emotional, sure. but it was a different emotion right. and let the healing begin. Mm-hmm. And so just, you know, it's not easy, but yeah. just dive in and take that first step and God will take it from there.
Well, and there's something else that you said that I think is really important when you're dealing with, you know, hurt within the faith community. Our tendency is when we've been hurt within the faith community, our tendency is to just like walk away from all of it, right? I don't want to put myself in that position again. You know, I don't want to be hurt like that again. And so we would just kind of withdraw from the whole thing. But man, we were created for community. We were, and we were created for Christ-centered community. And so the only way to true healing from, you know, these wounds that we have in our past is within the body of Christ. And
100%. Look,
the Lord is going to minister to you and speak to you through his word. And he's going, like, when you're off by yourself praying or whatever, God is going to speak to you and God is going to begin the healing process in you. But trust me when I say that that ultimately where he's going to lead you is back to his body.
Yes.
He has always intended that you would be a part of his bride.
Yeah.
That's always been his purpose. Yeah. And so one way to kind of begin that process of healing is, if you've experienced hurt in within a faith community, then, you know, don't just, you know, find another faith community.
Yeah.
And plug in and go to work and allow that experience of being a part of that, of those folks to be a part of your healing process. That's really cool that's part of your story too.
It is. Yeah. And that's, you know, like I said, when I first started coming after spring break, it was for our family. Yeah, it was, you know, I knew my kids needed to be in church and, just, you know, that's what we did as a family. But, and then I knew I needed to be here, but I wouldn't use the word like excited, you know?
Right.
And so that's where it really started happening. And we joined the Chaos Sunday School class, because I knew I hadn't been involved in a life group in years.
Yeah.
And so I knew I needed that relationship and not just, you know, what I'm reading in scripture, but hearing other people's interpretations and other people's struggles and, kind of that, you know, you don't necessarily know how you're ministering to people. I'm sure there's people that were going through things in that room.
Yeah.
That I no longer felt alone.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they read something or picked up on something in that lesson and it dawned on me and it clicked a light bulb and, you can't get that alone. You can't get that without community.
Yeah.
And I'm also a big believer in, you know, having mentors and having people who have been through it before you, you know, it's great to, share life with people who are in that same phase and, you know, my kid woke up at 3 a.m. too and night terrors and all that. Yeah, like, that's great to have those people that relate with you. But you also need those people who can affirm that, like, it gets better or, you know, you're going to be okay. I've been where you've been and I'm on the other side. Yeah. And and that's really important too. And you're only going to find that in community and in Christ Church.
Yeah. I can't overstate how important that is. And when I've learned that, you know, about a bazillion different ways, cause I'm really hard-headed and I don't learn easy. So God has had to teach me, you know, in a bunch of different ways about the importance of being rooted in the body, you know? And, I mean, for a while, my job was to travel all over the country and play music, you know, for people. And which was super fun and exciting, but it made it impossible for me to be rooted in a faith community.
Yeah.
And so that season of my life, I look back on really fondly. It was, you know, there's a lot of good things that happened, but also it was a real challenge for me spiritually because I didn't have, you know, I didn't have people, you know?
Yeah.
And so God really taught me during that season, how important it is, and especially, you know, with me and Amy both to be plugged in together somewhere that really matters. It just does. It just does.
It does.
God is still God, whether I'm in a church or not. He is. And he still loves me, even when I'm not. And he still speaks to me, whether I'm in church or not. But I will never become all that I'm supposed to be in Christ apart from his body. That's just the reality of the situation. And so I just can't state that enough for folks who are listening, who, you know, who maybe you've just been like, man, I just can't do church.
Yeah. Well, and the other big thing I'm a big believer in is serving.
Yes.
And that requires community. And, You don't even have to be leading a Bible study to be serving. It can, right. you know, be through meals or just something mm-hmm. that is your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And the people that you'll meet doing that or the conversations that you'll have, like God's going to work through you in that. Yep. And he's going to use that opportunity. Mm-hmm. You just have to accept it. And yeah. So finding a place to serve.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
that's the critical part. I mean, that when Paul was writing to the church in Philippi, you know, he tells them, I want you to have the same mind as Christ, who didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but rather humbled himself to the position of being a slave, you know? Mm-hmm. And so like this essential characteristic of Jesus is service. And so we can't call ourselves Christians, little Christ, like if that's not an essential part of who we are too, you know? Yeah. And what we do on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, what we do is practice that. What we do is practice how to worship, how to serve, mm-hmm. how to grow, how to go. We practice that stuff, right? So that it becomes a part of the rhythm of our lives all the time. And it's just yeah. who we are, you know, but that's why we come here and do it, right? Because the more we do it, the more that muscle memory takes over and the more
100%.
That's kind of who we are. So yeah. Anyway, man, Jennifer, thank you so much. I yeah. appreciate you spending some time with us. I think there's a lot of really great wisdom and I think specifically some stuff for folks, you know, who are going to be listening. I think there's some truth in there that will be helpful to people. So I appreciate yeah. you very much.
I hope so. And it's an honor. I've listened to quite a few of these and we have some amazing people in our church. Let me just say that. And I hear them and I'm like, oh, well, how am I going to, you know, they've set the bar pretty high. But yeah, it's an honor and
I'm
glad to be a part of this family.
When I first had this idea, the honest truth, and I've said this on the podcast before, but the honest truth is I really just wanted to have an excuse to sit down with people and learn about them, you know, yeah. and find out about them. But I thought, well, how cool would it be if we, you know, if we recorded it, yeah. you know, and then other people could kind of be a fly on the yeah. wall to these conversations. Yeah. I had no idea how big of a blessing it was going to be just to me personally to meet all these amazing people in our church and yeah. hear their stories and, but then how big of a blessing it's been to other people yeah. too, you know? So that's just the way the Lord works. Okay. So, but thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate you. I really have enjoyed getting to know you guys anyway. Your kids, by the way, are awesome. They're just awesome. So,
well, thank you,
man. They're every time I see them all, they're all like, coming up and give me a hug, and I'm like, that's what I'm talking about.
The nights and days are long, but I know the years are short, and so right. they're I'm glad they're like that, and you know, most of the time. So
yeah.
thank you. That means a lot because it's not really always like that.
No, gosh, I mean, I've got two of my own, so I know, but really, really, really precious.
Thank you,
precious kids. So, and you guys listening, thank you so much for joining us this week for the podcast. I know it was an encouragement to you. It was encouragement to me. Make sure you check back in next week because we'll be back next week with another amazing, interesting, exciting guest who will be thinking as they sit in that chair. Well, I listened to Jennifer's last week. I don't know if I can do that well, you know. So they'll be thinking that, but it's going to be great. And so we want you to join us. So, but until then, we'll see you around town. Thanks for tuning in to First Things First. We want to invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at First Shallow Water. You can find us at 703 Avenue J in Shallow Water, Texas. Our Sunday morning service starts at 10:30 a.m. Click on the link in the description of this episode for more information about our church or if you'd just like to reach out to us. Check out the previous episodes of this podcast. Make sure you do that. We really have had the privilege of hearing some amazing stories. And make sure you check back each week for a new episode. Until then, we'll see you around town.